of the Spirit until Jesus comes, encouraging one another, exhorting one another, reminding one another of the things that you have taught us. Thank you, Lord, for this everlasting word that never fades, that is constant. Thank you for giving your spirit to bring to our remembrance all things whatsoever you have taught us. Thank you, Father, for calling, exposing everybody here to the gospel of peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And though our minds and our hearts, our imaginations cannot fathom the depth of the blessings, of the riches eternal that you have given, you give glimpses of it by the Spirit to keep our hopes alive until we see you face to face. Father, I pray, Lord, that this hope we blazon forth brightly this morning, Lord. Please open your word to us. Lord, there's no one that has a patent on your word. Only the Holy Spirit does. You have chosen me as a vessel. Speak through me. There's nothing new that I'm going to say that has not been written or that you have not spoken to your children. Father, I pray, Lord, that there be a steering. Just use me to steer the truth, to steer hope, joy, happiness. Father, I pray, Lord, that Satan, the kingdom of Satan, will suffer a loss this morning. And the purpose of Christ our Savior will be advanced, and your love will be set forth in the heart of your children. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. I have no doubt this morning that God wants us to talk about Christian suffering. From the song selected, from the songs that we sang, from the song before the sermon, the theme has been set. Definitely, the Lord wants us to talk, and we'll talk about it. I wanted to talk primarily about giving, so I'll round up what we're talking about the Christian and his money. But definitely, I think the Lord will want us to comfort one another this morning. We're grieving as a church this week. Sister Jackie is not here. John is not here. Sister Jackie lost her brother in the course of the week. And Sister Jackie and her family have been through a particularly tough time in the last 6, 7 years, almost an average of one death per year. Intimate family members. She's heartbroken, but the God of comfort will lift her up. Sister Jackie, if you are listening, our hearts are with you. John, Brother Mohammed, our hearts are with you as a church this morning. It's an intensely deep moment of loss when we can all imagine a sibling that we grew up with. She had seen this brother on our most recent trip. This brother, thank God, knows the Lord. So we know she's comforted by that. We know where he is today. But for those of us that remain, it's not an easy thing. So I'd just like us to take a moment to pray for the Pujay family. Lord Jesus, we just put before you our sister Jackie and our entire extended family in Sierra Leone, Freetown, and their village there with a plantation in our home, oh Lord. Lord, you know this moment, Lord, and for these moments you have come to heal the brokenhearted. To give the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Darling Jesus, you command us to pray one for another. So we pray for Sister Jackie in that supernatural way in which you are able to make the light to shine in darkness. We pray, Father, that you cause your light to shine on Sister Jackie's family. We pray, Father, that you please comfort their heart, O Lord. You know the right words we do not. You own their soul. I pray, Father, that what Satan means for evil will only redound to the salvation of souls and to joy in the name of Jesus Christ. Please bless this family. We pray for the widow left behind and the children. Lord, please bless them. It's amazing to me, Father, how many people you know and you attend to every moment. Every bereaved on the planet, of the surface, on the face of the earth now, they're in your hands. You see them. We only know in part and pray in part. Please succor, I pray, those who mourn in Zion this morning. Pray that you lift Sister Jackie up. Please give her provision. I pray, Lord, that the comfort of Jesus will only shine even deeper under this circumstance. Pray, Lord, that she will not be depressed, that her energy, Lord, will be given to her, will return to her. Please let her be, let her feel your warm embrace the way you are able to comfort those who are downcast. We ask all of this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Last week, we spoke from 1 Timothy chapter 6. We talked about the Christian and his money. We talked about how our life should not be spent trying to get rich. Riches may come, but our lives should be spent trying to add value, trying to glorify our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We talked about what the Lord's desire is, the Paul's teaching to Timothy directly, and encourage one another, because the culture around us actually teaches the opposite. And if we're not careful, even within the church, the opposite is taught. That the measure of success or the measure of blessing, you know, Satan always clothes carnal things with spiritual words. He has changed the meaning of love. He has changed the meaning of gay. Right? We have a word, a battle of words going on. Satan is very effective in this. Right? And then he's changed the meaning of blessing as well. Last week we mentioned that as you look into the Bible, what you will see is that the people that are called blessed are the people who are rich in God, not necessarily in dollar and pounds. Sterling, I don't know why they call it sterling. And before we knew gradually, and we looked into the Bible a bit last week, and it's amazing the circumstance under which they kept serving God. It was just like their aspiration in life was totally different from the material. We looked at the book of Acts in which the Bible says that there was a persecution in Jerusalem, and all the saints were scattered all over the world under the circumstance of a persecution. And yet, despite the fact that they were operating in a difficult time, everywhere they went, they were preaching the gospel. It was just like everywhere. Mention any character in the Bible, there seemed not to be emphasis on material, on fame, on money. So the Christian and his money. We learned from Paul that he said we should tell those who are rich in this present world that they should also be rich in good works. It seems as if the only use of excess money in Christianity is the degree to which you can do good with it. The emphasis today may be, and I think Brother Oshet said it very well, that the bigger your pockets, the bigger your car, the bigger your house, how big can a house get, for goodness sake? Those, I don't know. It's very funny how when you live in a house, I used to live in a town home that was slim. It was like one of those Lego, you know when you go to Lego place a world, and they use Lego to build. So I moved into that townhouse as a bachelor. I never thought that I will marry. I actually had three children in that house. It was enough. It was enough. Until then, Bravo, me started saying, when are you going to move into a bigger house? Yeah, they blame you. I should have just stayed though. I didn't know. If I gently stayed in my house, I'll be a very, very, I will have a lot more money in my pockets today. Well, you've been living here. No, totally, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to spend this money now. Anyway, at least actually, no, that's it's we moved. Yeah, don't worry. That's but you know the truth is I'm not sleeping any better in my town, in my house now than in my in fact, I don't notice a lot of things anymore. I went to the Adenuga's house the other day, and they had I've been going there several times, decades now, right? They have a an adjacent living room on the right, and they have the one they really use. That other one is just decoration. When I went there, I knew nobody used that room. I knew it. I knew nobody used that room. And it's the same for all of if you go to the Ogunsan South, when you enter the right, there's a white room there. The truth is, you always have your favorite place, your optimum space, no matter how big. And that's where you find yourself. I sit on the same space in my house. I just noticed I have a chair. So why did we buy all this extra? Anyway, that's not the sermon. The sermon is that the Bible is proven right, that optimum needs, God has made it that with contentment, there's great gain. May I joke about something you said? Well, since when have I been asking permission, right? Brafemi sauntered into one of our elders' meeting and talked about his Range Rover. He was warning people who wants to buy that. The cost of maintenance. Ultimately, it's a car. What never fades is the investment that we make in Jesus as Savior. The Christian and his money. There's so much good we can do. So much more good. And we're not doing enough, to be honest. Oh, there's a recurrent theme in our church lately that even a secular work is ministry. The way Brother Abumi likes to put it is that your work is congealed money. Your money is congealed life, which is true. That's where you spend most of your life. And when you spend most of your life on jewelry, what a waste of life. The Christian and his money. What do you do with your money? The way you spend your money really honestly shows what is important to you. We all know that. We all know that. We know that. Let's do an audit. There's a cheat sheet. Go back home. Look at your finances for since you got born again. That is who you are. If you are merciful, your balance sheet will show mercy. If you are greedy, your balance sheet will show. Forget the scriptures. Go. If you love your family, your balance sheet will show it. The child you love most, see what you bought for them on each birthday. Don't worry, we don't. There are many truths we don't say ourselves, tell ourselves. Our pocketbook will tell us. If you love your wife, your balance sheet will show it. It will. Just see how much have I spent on gadgets? How much have I spent on my? Because there are people here, you can spend $10,000 on gadgets and the things you like, but a poor woman wants to buy is an $800 bag, 1,000, 2,000, and that's when carnality and preaching starts. When you are buying your own LCD, all of that, no problem. Traveling all over the world. Now she wants a shoe, and the shoe is 1,000 suddenly. I like being fair, honestly. And these are sermons I preach to myself because when I'm about to roll out two scriptures, I remember, come on, man. Hey, come on. Come on. Look. Come on. Be fair. Be fair. You're totally allowed to splunge, splash. What do you splurge? Splurge. But she's not. Okay. What's the difference between the golf kit and a Louis Vuitton. They are both vanity. So why is my vanity better than ours? And that's why I didn't call you. Just sit down. The Christian and his money, Louis Vuitton or God bag, Jesus will ask us. Who will help these folks? That's what is not emphasized. In fact, the Bible has totally corrupted the issue of the Christian and his money because, and we're going to go to giving. Oh, we may have to, I'd like us to touch on suffering today though. But this is so profound. And I want to touch, I don't want to just. Preach. There's this fallacy. Because today is giving. We talked about personal money and pursuit of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Please project it. We can read it thoroughly at home. That is in Luke chapter 6 and 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Brothers and sisters, those are the manuscripts for New Testament Christian giving. Those are the two chapters, the first, Luke 6, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, rolling over, shall men give to your bosom. And with whatever measure you give, it shall be given to you as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the apostle sat down to tell us what his model for new covenant Christian giving will be. We don't have to worry. We don't have to wonder. Before we read it, I want to tell you what the model is today. The model is that what you give to the church is what you give to the Lord. Actually, Christ had another impression. He said, what do you do for the least of the brethren? That's what you've done for me. And I wish we could just take the saying that what you give to the church is what you give to the Lord. If we got the definition of church right. That statement is true, but the statement is that church now means the building and the organization, not the people, not the brothers and the sisters, not the hurt and the weak, not the needy, not the born-again Christian, not the missionaries on the field who need to have their children's school fees paid, not the minister who needs a car. By minister, I don't mean the preacher of the word. We assume the pastor is the minister. No, it's just one office. We mean the man who cleans, the janitor, the sweeper, the administrator. They are all ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know a sister who got a new car. She had her car in Nigeria. She had a car. Her car had less than, I don't know. The car had a few miles on it. She got another one. And she was led to give her current car away. I know you've had that testimony several times. Who do you normally hear it from? Eh? Yes. They call it giving up. I don't know who is up and down, for goodness sake, in Christ. I think in Christ, we're all. And this sister said to me that there was a gentleman, this was in Nigeria, that there was a gentleman who will be one of the first people in church every day. And this gentleman lived all the way in the mainland. Way off, faithful. And I was really curious. I said to this sister, I said, tell me about it. Such things just excite me. I want to capture the moment. I love moments of generosity because I'm always astounded when God meets my need. And I like to see, I would like to be there at the point when prayers are answered. It must be one of the most beautiful things. When hearts are comforted. I said, how did you do it? She said she just went to the church and she took the key. She had a friend take her to church that day. She took the key. So she drove her car. Sorry, the friend brought the car to take her back. She took the car there. Said she just gave the key to the gentleman. So how did he react? He fell down. Christian giving. Then I was saying to myself, I wonder how that day must have been for that brother. You went to church in a bus. You drove home in an almost new car. Tell me, why wouldn't that boy believe, who had been clinging, to believe that Jesus truly loved him? That is the Jesus kind of Christian giving. Welcome to Brother Leroy. Right? Take your time. You might need some help. Don't. I'm okay. I'm not. That's okay, Brother Leroy. I'm fine. I'm cool. Just take your time. There you go. Let us be the hands and the... I just want to say simply, I don't want to cover this simple issue up with a lot of verses and something. These are things that by the Spirit of God you know are true. We talk about evangelism and reaching out. Please don't just reach out with tracts and words. The Bible says you should love not just with words, but in deed and in truth. That's what the world is missing from us. They are missing that touch of I care and I love you and I'll be there. Is there anyone here who is praying that their children will be comforted by the Lord? The Bible says it comforts us in all of our needs. Why? Why? That second part is so important, brethren. I wish there had been a full stop after that. You see, let me tell you something. All of us believers will be comforted. Don't worry. And not all of us eventually, but not all of us will be comforted here on earth. But those of us that are comforted here on earth, it's not because God loves us more than he loves the people that are not yet comforted. We'll talk about that when we're talking. Does that make sense? Have you ever wondered that Sister Kemi is so blessed? Everything she touches turns to gold. This is hyperbole. You are blessed, really, but I know, I'm not saying you have no wahala. I can listen to Sister Kemi's testimony and it may depress me and say, isn't it the God that she's serving that I'm serving? That's why I wonder at New Testament testimonies. At times our testimonies are not empathetic. At times our testimonies do not consider those who are still praying for that prayer point in the congregation. Many people come to church happy and they leave depressed. They are saying, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Because of you. But if you consider your comfort of the Lord an occasion to extend the same comfort to others, it will change the way we spend our money and we give our testimonies. Because Christ was never always about himself, but about others. These are things by the grace of God that we should begin to think about and practice. The Christian and his money. Giving. Now, brothers, please, because there's so much, I want to debunk today the present, and I know you know it, but it's good for us to remind ourselves. Let's teach ourselves how the New Testament church should consider giving. All of those messages on giving, on sowing, on reaping, on tithing, on this, on that, they are true. Oh, sorry, not all of them are true. I'm sorry. There's context to them. But if you want to know what Jesus, how Jesus wants us Christians to handle money and the issue of giving, please, let's learn it once and for all in New Covenant Church. There are not too many chapters. I always say there are not too many chapters in the Bible that deal with it. This deals thoroughly with it. The sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ about how we should give generously deals with it. The teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ about who to give to, right, deals with it. There are not too many. If we really are going to be Berean, we can study this in one afternoon and know what the will of God about giving it. So the next time you queue up a YouTube thing, you know whether that video is talking in alignment with God's will or not. So this is Paul writing to an established church in the Corinth, and he wanted to teach them what God passed to him about giving. He said, brethren, I'm going to read quickly through it. The grace that God has given the Macedonian church. He said, out of the most severe trial, the overflowing joy and the extreme poverty, and the extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Lesson number one, Christian giving has nothing to do with what you have. It has to do with your heart. Lesson number one. Some of the most precious gifts we've received them not from people who had money or a lot, but from people who empathized with us, who understood us. I could never forget my grandmother. She didn't have much. Her gifts, every gift she gave me was more precious than anyone else. You have something to give if you have the heart to give it. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not a billionaire in dollars. He gave and gave. You give what you have. Paul is teaching. He said, this church in Macedonia, although they were in trial, right? Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, in poverty, right? Still welled up in rich generosity. If you care for missionaries, there will be room in your tight budget for them. If you care for the persecuted, there'll be room in your tight budget for them. Because no matter how tight your budget is, you find room for the needs of your own children. There'll be room for the needy. If you care for people, there'll be room in your budget as a Christian for people. I'm just waiting for you to go to the next one. Thank you. It has nothing to. We are not a lot here. New Covenant, look at us. We're not a lot. But I bless the Lord that God uses us effectively in certain ministries. We have a program to the students that's over about close to two decades now that's taught me a lesson. It's not until you shout and shout and force people to give. When you have heart committed to a cause, God provides the means. We've never run out of money. I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability entirely on their own. Entirely on their own. I think he will write more about it. They urgently pled with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. That's the attitude of this church. He will explain more. Is it possible to see about 4 or 5 verses at the same time? Give me the next two. They did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. You know what this lesson number two is, brethren, about Christian giving? It's a giving of self first. They gave themselves first. You know, at times we write checks like we're doing the Lord a favor. You know, the biggest giver, the $10,000. Hey! And when they were announced the biggest donors first. But Paul said, these guys were not really about the stuff. Their giving was, I'm not expressing it well. Or I am, you're just looking at me like, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Does it make sense? Has anybody been so generous to you and they drop a gift? I know you're not Sister Abiola, so I'm not going to make it. And they drop your birthday gift. But not only do they drop a gift, which already is amazing, but they offer to wash your plate. They offer to help you arrange the chair. They are not big man, they're not here. Oh, Lord, give us your heart. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He already gave us life. He already gave us clothes. But he came to give his life himself first to us. How blessed. Have you ever felt that generosity in your life? That someone is not just dropping you a present. They're dropping themselves. Have you felt that generosity before, Grandma? Christian giving is very humble. Paul said, although we sent to them to put together things for the needy church. We thought they were just going to put it. No, they were begging us. Number one, they were poor people, not really rich people, but they were ready. Not only were they ready to give the gifts and bring the bags in, they were ready to jump into the drum and push it down and make it flowing together, running over. They were ready to help grandma carry the barrel. They're not waiting for grandma to be begging who will wait behind. They are calling grandma to say, hey, we care for those people in Guyana. We want to volunteer to take it for shipment. Christian giving. They gave themselves first. Does it make sense to you now that we have used a practical example? Don't write God a check. The cattle on a thousand hill, we're not going to touch suffering today, the way rate at which you are going. The Christian spirit, may it arise in our heart. The character of Jesus as Savior. There's a way Christians do things that should be different from the world. Bratola, does it make sense? Be present. They give themselves first. There's no big man to God. He said they did much more. This issue is about giving, but not only did they give material, they were present. They are like family members. They are not guests. They gave themselves. Does this make sense? Brother Usman, does it make sense? If it doesn't, tell me. Mommy Ali, it makes sense. That's Christian giving. There's a spirit about Christian giving. There's something about the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's something beautiful, enchanting, humble, touching, empathetic, deep, loving. Everything he does was not just the action, was the love. And Paul told us, he said, so we owe Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part, now to the Corinthian church, right? But just as you excel in giving, excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, please also excel in the gift of giving. Don't be stingy Christians. Most people don't know. We know they've taught us that giving is a ministry, but they taught us to give so that we can receive in return, not as a ministry, not as a service. But giving is a true expression of Christianity, giving without expecting anything in return. Excel in that ministry, in that grace. Be generous. I've said it in this church. Tell me you're a Christian. I want to know what your attitude is. And I tell the singles, all my children who are looking to get married at some point, the singles in this church, those who have come to me and they're asking me, Uncle, okay, I'm dating this person now. I say to them, when you go out, how does this person treat the waiter? When you are courting, how do they treat their poor relatives? So that is how you know the kind of person this person. How does this person teach their personal staff? Are they generous? Are they giving? Are they kind? Eventually, when you marry them and the butterfly stops fluttering, that's the way they will treat you. How do they treat their mother? If you have a wife that is already cursing out their family and all the people in their family, they are witches. Maybe she's the witch. Beware. Anyway, I digress. I'm not commanding you. Lesson number four. That's about four. Anyway, he's going to teach you about that. But I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing with the earnestness of others. You know, he's comparing Macedonia and these guys. Let's go on. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. Yet for your sakes he became, so that you through his poverty, priest and given. Have you made anybody rich? Have you in your life made anybody rich? I don't mean monetary rich. You go to a social gathering, It's easy to sally up to the popular and the big people. Do you know that just because of the wristwatch you have on, there are people that if you sit next to them, you have made their day rich? Am I wrong? Am I wrong, Uncle? Because you are from America and you go to Nigeria to visit, just that someone from America is sitting next to me, you have made him rich. And God brought you to America so that you can make such people rich. Jesus, Christian given, Jesus did not mind the splendor. He shouldn't be hanging out with hags like you and I. Who are we? He should not be hanging out with hags. His angels are amazed that he's even paying attention to dispensable, mortal things like us. The angels created in glory. They said, "Why are you hanging with these people? The Son of Glory, who are we? We are sacks of bones after 80 years. Nothing." He became, though he was rich, that's the first. Jesus is rich. We keep forgetting that Jesus is the richest man in all of. We keep forgetting that our brother is a multi-trillion, sexo-trillionaire. We keep forgetting that Jesus is the cutest, the richest, our brother, our savior. Say Jesus. I mean it. Say Jesus. This person, you keep forgetting who he is. His credentials, his resume is impeccable. We keep forgetting who we derive our identity from. You're not a nobody. The person that has loved us is the King of Glory. And though he became poor, why? Because that was the only way to make us rich. That we, through his poverty, may become. That is Christian giving. Please, let's start reading. I'm going to end the sermon. We never really did get to suffering. But this giving thing, this endless, the Lord says expressly that if you can pledge $10,000, there are 300 people that should give $10,000. And after they've told that lie, and those 300 stand up, say the Spirit is now saying, if five people can give 5,000, then the Spirit is saying, is 100 people, 1,000 people can give 100. Is this an auction house? Read your Bible, people. That is not the will of God. This is the will of God. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I've always wondered, listen, be a giver. Do you know how frequently as church we disobey the law of God? What did Jesus say? He said, if a man comes and prays and he needs, I'm going to paraphrase, and he needs a plate of food, and we say to that man, the Lord bless you, and we have that food in our closet, what did he say we have done? Sin, yeah. How many times have people approached churches for prayer meeting, and what they are praying for is in the church coffers, and we say, the Lord bless you? It's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. He even went further. He said, if you have two coats, we don't talk about this thing because we don't know practical ways, but we should talk about it. The Holy Spirit will lead us into practical ways to live it. I am very convinced that until we begin to live this way, Jesus is not happy. He said, if you have two winter coats, a woolen one, and you have someone who has none, what did he say we should do? He did not say, okay, one is official and one is bubble. I need one for, and your sister or brother has none. He said, we should what? These are the difficult sayings of the Bible, but that's Christian giving. And if we are going to teach it, we can't teach anything other than what? Christian giving. Does anybody have any question before I go on? Because when things go quiet this way, it's either it's hitting home or I've lost everybody. Am I missing the context? Thank you, Sister Ronke. Welcome back to church. I've missed you. Go ahead. I want to pause. So we're not doctrinarian. I want us to be practical. Christian given. Christian given. So that it won't be on judgment day that Jesus will say, "Did I not tell you this?" Christian given. Christian given.
Okay. My question is the rich that is being talked about here, is that monetary riches?
That's it. That's it.
It is monetary.
Every kind of riches, I'll say. Because who did he say was rich here?
Christ.
In what way was Jesus rich?
In every way.
I think that's the. I will just leave you with the passage.
Okay. But
He just said Jesus was rich. So, in every way that he was rich, he became poor. He was rich in immortality. He
so
was
that's
rich in
through
power. He was
his
rich
poverty.
in resource and in glory. And he absorbed himself of all of those riches so that we can have immortality. We can have power. We can have everlasting riches. So, he did not qualify it. But because he was talking about the riches of Jesus, we know how expansive the riches of Jesus is.
So monetary is included.
I don't even want us to always separate monetary, right? Some people's ministry and their expression of giving is money, right? The problem is that we have made discussions about riches exclusively money. That's why we need to expand it, because it's not only in money that we're not generous. At times, we're not generous with our time. At times, we're not generous with our empathy. So there are people with money that don't have time. It's only what God has blessed you with that you should give. So let's be rich in giving all of those things.
Thanks
With
for
our
that.
knowledge, right. Right.
All right, so you clarified it more with the way you expanded on riches. All right, thanks.
Yeah, see, in church, we are not going to exalt money above all virtues, because the Bible does not. It is in the fake church that somehow money has taken up something of its own. We talked about money last week. It's not all Christians that have money, but all Christians are blessed by the Lord. Okay. There's another question there.
Please, will you expand? Please, will you expand a bit on verse 5, where he says they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us.
We talked a little bit about that. The only.
I mean, like the difference in, okay, they give themselves first to the Lord, then they give themselves to us.
Yeah. Essentially, I'll simplify that by saying, let's go to, I think he explains it himself. Go back to 4 and 5. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to his saints, to the saints. Just let's look at our attitude of heart first. A congregation that is proactive, like we said, health service, right? Because it has to do with something that has to do with the, just because it's something of the Lord, people are actually volunteering and pleading to be part of it. It's not as though we are looking for customer. That was what I meant when I was using grammar's barrier, right? That the kind of, and that's why I was saying, is this clear? What kind of condition of heart makes someone say, "I just don't want to bring something to church"? Grammar, do you need help pumping it down? Should I come and pick you at home to take it? That's someone, at that point, they're not doing it for Trinidad and Tobago, or they're not doing it for Guyana. They're doing it for the Lord. They're already, the thing. If you bring clothes, you are doing it for the poor of Trinidad and Tobago. But if you go beyond that, because the next verse says they went above, go to verse 5 or thereabout. Verse 5. They did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Means they went above the normal expectation. And that is where your desire for the Lord shows. When they are asking for 5 minutes and you are offering 20, Jesus said, if they compel you to take 1 mile, take two. That's how you give yourself to, that's how they know. You know, even unbelievers devote themselves to causes, right? The cause of the poor. If we are, Christians are not the only ones that do charity. Now, what separates Christian charity from secular charity is that we're giving to the Lord. We're doing it for the Lord's sake. So Paul was saying, I see something in this Macedonian church. It wasn't about just putting money, putting things together for the Jerusalem church that was about to undergo a famine. It seems as if they were anxious, they were zealous to do it. And I think that's the distinction that he's making there. And honestly, unless the only way ministry is sweet is when, Brabo, me, you testify, is when you find people who first give themselves to the Lord. If you have ever had any initiative where the people, you have volunteers without the headache of organizing and something, and people are asking, what do you want? Have you enough? It's sweet that way. And I pray that the church will come to that point when we're doing things for the Lord before we start doing things for people. Praise the Lord. 9, we're way beyond time. Okay, I think someone has ended. We're going to do question now. Brother Femi, okay.
You know, understanding that need is very relative. And I think a lot of people who are in need don't necessarily ask. So I just wondered how sometimes, you know, you as someone who wants to give are able to sort of discern in terms of knowing those who truly are in need.
Spoken like a true Nigerian. Yeah, there are a lot of scams around.
And I say that simply because, you know, the truth about it is that it never ends. And not to say that you want it to end, essentially, because if you're a giver, you're a giver. It doesn't really matter. But, yeah, and understanding that, you know, the people that come to you, you don't really know whether it's genuine or whether it's not. And talking about need being relative, you know, when people do come to you, need is relative.
I don't get that other one.
Meaning that...
I get the other one, but the relativity of need.
Relativity of need is that someone is coming to you with a need that you can help, right? But also understanding that you also probably have your own needs as well, right? That are relative in essence. But being able to discern that, well, if I do this for this person, you know, I've done it, and it doesn't necessarily mean that that person won't come back again. And then the need will start to escalate, because the moment you do it, that just keeps escalating and escalating and escalating. It's very
Nigerian. You want to answer?
Yes, it's very Nigerian.
You want to try? Okay. Before we go, we're going to close on giving. What I want to say on suffering, I must say it. I just want you all to know, as we read from Romans 8, that God feels all of our suffering. I don't want us to leave today without sharing that. These are tough times for Brother Femi. We'll handle that question. I think we may close on giving. But it's very, very important in this day and time when Satan is really raging to know that Jesus knows and Jesus sees. Not only that, what I'm hoping next week is we'll go into the Bible and you will see how your suffering is constructed to bring you to a place of glory, as painful as it is. In fact, there's no Christian experience without real suffering. Many of us are discouraged. Many of us, but the Lord is with you. He's with the brokenhearted, particularly with the broken. In fact, we are going to show the blessedness of suffering, the tenderness of our Redeemer. So I don't know what we're going through, but these are very trying times for Christians. And I just want you to know, like Hebrews says, that Jesus feels it. He knows it. That thing you cannot say to anybody. I know it's cliche to say this, but it's biblical doctrinal truth that your suffering is designed to bring an eternal weight of glory. And I hope we will explore the scriptures together. All you who are lonely, who are downtrodden, that your Redeemer Jesus Christ is present with you. This is the word of comfort that I want us to go home with. It's very hard. It looks like you will die. It feels like you will break in spirit. But brothers and sisters, you will not. The grace that has borne you, the Bible says in Romans, what will separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Not the current suffering, not the persecution, not the visible things, not the invisible things, not the angels. Nothing. Nothing will separate you from the love that God has loved you in Christ Jesus. Nobody sees. Did we sing Jehovah knows? No. Jehovah sees when trouble blows. Jehovah sees. I don't know how to sing it, but it's very important that if you are discouraged, if you're near, like the book of Ephesians, if your hand is hanging low today, if your nail is drooping today, if your heart is heavy today, if there seems to be no respite for you today, Jesus is with you. Your sorrow may abide the night, but your joy will come in the morning, guaranteed. Please hold on. I totally forgot the question you asked. Yeah, but you remember.
Okay, so what I want to say, I may not answer the question, but as you were asking the question, it reminded me of something that happened. So there was a lady that comes to my house, to our parents' house. She used to ask for help for like money. And then my mom, we're the ones that do the duty in the house. She still makes us do the duty, even though we are like 16 years old or whatever. But then the woman comes, she asks for money. And my mom was like, okay, you can do this, you can clean around the house. So it isn't just about attacking the surface level need. It's about what exactly do they need. It isn't just money they need, it's like a job. You could teach them skills, giving them opportunities to grow. So the relativity of need in the sense of different people need different things. You can pray for guidance on how exactly you can help them. They may say they need money, or they may need time, or just something, but food, yes. And like, you could teach them to farm. You could give them you could teach them to farm because my dad is a farmer. So you could give him a job on the farm because somebody did need help with food and he gave him a job on the farm. So it isn't just, because like, if you give them money, if you give them this, a time will come when you don't have enough money to give out. And so when you teach them how to fend for themselves in this sense, they can help themselves and they can help others.
Thank you. So thank you very much. That's a very practical suggestion. Brother Femi, Paul answered your question. Unfortunately, we ran out of time, but it's further than, so I'm just going to skip to the verses. And this is where I want to go. This is New Testament giving. It's going to answer your question there. Let's go all the way. Let's go to verse 12. Start from there. He said, if they forced a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. Christian giving. So from what we just read now, is it okay for churches to say you should pledge ahead of time and write a post-dated check? Now I'm asking now, people, please answer me now. Shebi, it's Bible. From this direction, is it an okay practice? The money you don't have, they say you write a post-dated check. And before your salary, they quickly cash it before your landlord can get there. The rule of New Testament Christian, is that if what God is looking at is not the amount of check you write, is the heart. When you look at that poor person, always come. If your heart is full of empathy and you wish you could do, it is accepted to God that you have done. Because it's accepted not from what you don't have, but what you do have to give. Now, let me warn us. Many times our hearts are haughty. We think we are God. Even what we have, we don't want to give. The Lord looks at the heart. Man looks at how much check you write. And let me tell you, I've never seen someone who is in need. And if you are a truly empathetic person, and you sit them down, even the empathy in your eyes, I wish I could give you more. I really don't have anything. I wish. Communicate something to them. There's a comfort. Yeah, thank you, Auntie. I understand, Auntie, because I know if you really have, you will give me, Auntie. But if it's I don't have all the time. Eh? Relativity of need. Let me answer that. It's true. Tell me, who is the one that can address all needs? God. That's what addresses your relativity. Oh, he said, you're ready. I should stop preaching. I should just read it. Okay. Okay, let's read it then. Verse 13. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you be burdened. Thank you very much. Let there be equality. Now, let me ask you, is there equality? You what? Calculated risk. Right.
And somebody comes, right? Yeah. And that person needs $50, right? And all you have is $100. Most times, you're not going to divide that 100 into two and give that person 50, because perchance you would think that, there might be a need that comes up for you in a few days or what have you. You might do 20. But if it says equality here.
But because they are doing mathematical equality.
That's what I'm saying.
God is not doing risk. God is doing relativistic equality.
I know at the end of the day, I get you. At the end of the day, it's your heart that matters the end of the day.
Yeah.
And it's your heart that matters at the end of the day. And really and truly, your conscience also speaks for it. Because even if you, I've seen people, if they have that 100, they would give you the 50. Yeah. You understand? Some may even give you the whole thing.
That's why I don't want to trap us with the mechanics of giving, right? I'd rather we stay on what you said first. They have, because there are many times when the appropriate thing to give then is the 10. That's the quality. Because this person that asked needs a McDonald's. You need to pay your child's, you need to pay your child's scholarship. Who will you run to? He can run to you for McDonald's.
Exactly, but you don't have anybody to run to. That's all I'm trying to say.
But you do.
Well, yes.
Very fact that your child can be in an American college is because God
has made it possible. Absolutely. Provides. Yes. I'm not, I'm just speaking in terms of trying to clarify my own.
I just want to share this because this giving issue, sometimes we have to be led by God. When I first came to the U.S., I used to listen to TBN. And I say I didn't have much, but I saved. So I had $1,000 saved. And I was listening to, I shouldn't have mentioned it, but I was listening. And there was a call to give $1,000. At the same time, I was going to start a PG Community College. So in my mind, I wanted to give it. And I heard the voice. If you give the money, when you cry out, I will not hear you. In my mind, because I've never had that before, I was like, that can't be God telling me not to give. But somehow, I obeyed the voice. I didn't give. I was going to start community college at that time. Jemima's dad promised to come so that I would stay with the kids. I'll be able to go. But unfortunately, he couldn't make it. That was the money I used to put Keziah in daycare when I started PG Community College. So giving, we have to be led. We read it this morning. Those are that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Don't let us do anything out of flesh. I don't want them to insult me that I don't give. No, let God lead you. Then another thing I want to say is some issues are misplaced priorities. You cannot be coming from vacation from London and you are telling me to give you school fees. I won't do it. And I'm not being selfish or unkind, but I need to teach you a lesson. And God himself too will teach you a lesson. Don't misplace your priorities. Do things right so that you have money in future.
I'm going to make, thank you very much. That's Frank. I'm going to make that. I'm going to say something you disagree with. You are. from what Sister Ura just said. At times the Lord, listen, that specific leading of the Lord happens. It might be to do the opposite of what Sister Ura just said. There might be foolish. When the prophet went to the widow of Sarah, whatever, Sarephath, and said the most wicked thing I've ever heard. Said, first feed me before you feed your own child. That's foolishness. But that was guidance from the Lord. As long as you know you are being guided by the Lord, Shekinah. At times, specific guidance can override. But be sure, bra, Olaoluwa.
I think we need to give ourselves first to the Lord. You know, if we are given to the Lord, I mean, we are given to the Lord. He will be able to communicate his mind to us. Even when we are wrong, he can always come back and tell us, this is it. Because there are times that we might feel, there are times you will listen to preachers and you think you are too bad for not responding. But if you know the Lord yourself, he will talk to you. And this relativity of need is real. Though I might not know much about the United States environment yet. But you have some people, you have your own children in a public university, and they have children in, you know, other private university, and they're asking you for money for feeding. Excuse me. You know, you need the Lord to talk to you. Though you love to help. So I think it's primary that we receive grace to be given to the Lord so he could turn us to wherever he wants us to turn.
Praise the Lord. Those are all practical elements of giving. We thank the Lord. Listen, relativity of giving. You've opened a can of worms. We can keep discussing, but we have to close the service at some point. It's last week you read about 1 Timothy. What is the baseline of Christian lead? Because now I want to touch a little bit about relativity so that you have your definition of relativity baselined by scriptures. In 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy chapter 6 from last week, what is the baseline of need in the Bible? Haven't therefore food and be therewith, for you brought and you... So don't tell me because you're filling your private jet, you can't give to your cousin who needs school and you're saying, yes, I need, but if you don't need that private jet, you're living above the free, because the choices you make at times will define your need. That's what Brother Femi was telling us that day. That if you get a Range Rover, you better be aware of what the repair cost is, because it might impact your child's tuition. And then you start yelling. And I think you've talked about it, what you also talk about as well. May the Lord grant us wisdom. I just read this so that we can round up. This is the New Testament. So if you do not receive an express word from the Lord and you want the New Testament guidance on what God teaches about Christian giving, this is it. Say, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you be burdened. It answered a lot of our questions. You are flying on vacation. I'm working 40 hours a week here, 50, 60, trying to make ends meet. It's taking me 30 years to pay my mortgage. You cash down, paid your own mortgage, and you're sending me to, asking me to send you $500. Me, I don't want to pay down my own mortgage, Abby. I do not mean that others should be eased, should be burdened while you're eased. That's what many churches preach. Go and burden yourself so that we can build a cathedral. There are so many people who have served the church. Now they're in retirement. Their children are suffering. The church is not making provision for them. In New Covenant Church, we've been discussing and praying about that. We need to fix that. Or many ministers lose a minister, and where's their video? Where's their widow? Where's the widow of our dear minister today? How is she doing? Those are the things that concern Jesus. Given. Things that the world does not look at. I'm not telling you that others should be burdened and you are ease. The pastor is driving a Benz and they are collecting little money from Oniru, the seller of Iru and the seller of, I don't know what Iru is in English. Yes, it's not locust beans. That's what you people call it. Oyinbos don't have it, so they don't have a name for it. They can't even stand the stuff. But by an equality that now at this time, and this is what, that's why I say it's not mathematical equality. He said, what I'm asking is that your surplus should supplement the lack, that their abundance also may supplement your lack. That's what it means by equality. The extra you have, let it go to ministry. All those coats, all those clothes, the spare time, supplement the lack in the lives of others. If the Lord gives your children scholarship, can you give 10 scholarships to other people's children? Because he has taken care of the dollar, tremendous dollars that you saved, so that you can use the money you would have spent for your child to send 10 other children to college. Can you imagine 10 families giving thanks to God because they are helping their kids be doctors and lawyers today? That's a bigger ministry than empty promise of gospel that has no works. Let your surplus, the Starbucks, your surplus, the extra bag, your surplus, that extra car that you don't need. You can get a new one, that's fine. But that old one, put it to work. Let your surplus, there's no shame in increasing. God has all flavors in his, the sermon has dragged on and on. God has all manners of people, the rich, the poor. Let your surplus supplement the need of others. That way, I hope we've done a little justice. There's so many things that Paul taught here, but we have to close the service. Then he went on and warned us. Say, remember, he that gathereth much had nothing left over. He that gathereth little had no lack. As I close, who can tell me what Paul was referring to here? Because it's a lesson from the Old Testament, from manna. God gave them a strange instruction. He said, take only what you need for the day, right? But we being who we are, what did our forefathers do? Some, and it stank. So I wonder, all of that retirement savings that you have, when you are gone, what happens to you? Solomon actually gave us an idea of what could happen to you. He said, all this money, the people and the children are leaving it behind. I don't know whether they'll be foolish or wise. The money you've been sweating for, they might just get a... Imagine, all this money, all these savings, all this similar to what we just decide, you know what, I want to fly to East Timor and enjoy. I'm too tired. I want to go for 6 months on vacation. I spent 20 years putting this together, and then you are going to Bali, Singapore, on my expense. So I'm using mental stress to gather money. Because it's not their money. Okay. Do we understand New Testament, the Lord's teaching for his church in love and empathy about giving? Is that clear? Like Berean Christians, please go home. Please go home. Google verse on giving, New Testament. And one by one, read everyone. Call one another to discuss it. So that after this week, we are settled for life and eternity. What God says about giving. Let us pray. You okay, Karen? Good. That word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. Your word is simple. It converts the soul. It rejoices the heart. It makes the simple wise. Please bless us, Lord. It's easy to talk about these things. Your spirit will help us perform it. Give us the grace to be transformed by obedience and the performance of your words. Help us, Father, to glorify you. Help us not to be speakers and hearers alone. We more than knowing, we want to differentiate ourselves from the multitude by doing, so that they may know that we have been with you, that you may rejoice in us. We want to be able to comfort the poor. We want many people to give thanks to you by reason of your blessings in our lives. We want, Lord, our faith, expression of faith in you, to be a comforting one, an empathetic one, a true one, a living one. Give us the grace to embrace those who are not as privileged like you did. Let many be made rich because we have met Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry I kept you. God bless.
Amen. So we all have had our instructions.